My topic this morning is the third in our series about finances. And this is the topic of saving. Now, that's not the most exciting topic, I suppose, intrinsically. But I learned a couple of things from looking at what the Bible has to say about saving. The other day, I got this, one of these forewords. You know how you get these forewords from well-meaning people who are trying to save you from scams and all this kind of stuff? And this was a forward from a colleague who had moved to St. Louis, and it was like, what do you do if you're held up by a gunman at an ATM, And so the thing on here was, here's a secret that not many people know. If you go in there and they're holding a gun on you and you enter your PIN number backwards, what this does is it releases the money so the gunman doesn't shoot you in frustration. But at the same time, it transmits to the police station and they realize there's a robbery in progress and they come in. Deal with it, okay? And then they said at the bottom of this thing, pass this on to your friends. This has been verified by Snopes.com, And I thought, you know what? This sounds so ridiculous. I can't believe that this has been verified by anybody. So I went on Snopes.com, and right at the top of their thing, they go, ATM pin thing. I looked under, they go, this is totally false. It's an urban rumor. It's just totally bull, And I, just like I had thought. And I thought, there's so much disinformation out there about everything, right? And especially a lot of times we believe a lot of disinformation about money. And in saving, I think we've also, at the same time. Now, there was an article just this last week about how consumer spending and incomes were just a little bit up in January. And in the article, it says this, there was a big increase in the savings rate to 5%. And this guy says, this economist says, it's good that people save, but it is not good that everyone saves at the same time. That makes the current downturn more severe and long-lasting. And then the next paragraph, they said, this is the, January was the record. The most people have saved since they started keeping track of this. And that's absolutely amazing. Now, saving, good or bad? Let's see what the Bible says. The Bible actually talks about saving in terms of three images, slugs, ants, and ravens. And I think we can learn from all of these, okay? So first of all, let's talk about the slug. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at that picture, I get this, for some reason, I get a craving to eat bratwurst. I don't know. What do you think, Joel? Is that, And so, anyway, now the Bible mentions slugs in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. It actually talks about the sluggard, but, same concept. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food at harvest. The sluggard is the lazy guy, right? It's like what I think of in terms of school as the slacker student. The slacker student is actually blowing opportunities that he could get scholarships later if he had worked really, really, really hard now, because he's going it feels so good to be lazy right now and not do my work today. And so he doesn't think in terms of the future at all, and that causes him to be slack, causes him to be a sluggard. And in the same way, the person who is thinking just about the present and doesn't think about the future, doesn't store anything away here, is also doing the very same thing, isn't he? The lazy person and the person who doesn't store any provisions for the future. Here's an example. Joseph Macko. This is a guy that every year, every October, for the last 53 years, he has gone into his Cadillac dealership and bought a brand new Cadillac. And here's his philosophy of life. You only live one time. Money is to spend. I spend it once I get it. This is the sluggard philosophy. This is Mackoism, we could call it right here. In Proverbs 21, it says that's foolish. That's foolish. It says, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. So it says living the life of a slug is really a foolish thing to do. And here's the reason. One of the things that you learn when you start looking at the idea of slugs is this idea of desiccation. Now, desiccation means this. As long as that slug is in a moist environment, that slug is going to be able to thrive and do his slug thing. But as soon as it gets dry, the slug begins to just dry up and shrivels, and that slug is toast. And the same thing goes then for somebody who is just like spending everything that they got, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck, is somebody that in times of drought and in times when things aren't going so well, that person is going to suffer. This is my son Adam right here, and he gives me a call this last week. He goes, "Dad," he says, "you will not believe," he says, "there's this house for sale right across from our school out in Vegas." And he says, it's a three-bedroom, three-bathroom house. It was once a $300,000 house. Now it's been foreclosed. It's for sale at $125,000. He says, "I went into Bank of America, and I said, what would it take for me to buy it?" They said, "Well, if you can put 3.5% down, we can give you a loan for 5%. I was amazed. I thought, I can't believe banks are still doing crazy stuff like that. Now, he's going, I said, "Well, you know, if," I said, "you have enough money for a down payment?" He goes, like, "Yeah, I got enough money for the down payment on that house." I said, "Well, okay, but you don't have any furniture or anything like that." I said, "How much would you have left after you put down the down payment?" He goes, "Well, nothing." I said, "Well, what would you do for furniture?" He said, "Well, I could buy a lawn chair." You know, now this is the American mentality, isn't it? I mean, haven't you seen people like this? They just stretch, you know, I mean, they buy right to the max and they got nothing left over. And then if something happens, I'm going like, "Adam," I said, "your brother Mark has to replace the roof on his house, you know?" I said, "That just comes out of the blue, you know, a furnace goes. Oh, surprise, you know, this happens and that." I said, "You know, that would maybe not be so good if you came into a time of drought." You know, the Bible suggests that probably better than being a slug, it would be to be an ant. These are like honey ants right here that are storing away stuff, just like it says back in Proverbs. And it's good to be an ant. You know, it's good to prepare for years of less sometimes. You know, Joseph did that in the Old Testament, didn't he? I mean, he got this discernment from God that there was going to be some bad times for the next 7 years. So he put it away. And then during those 7 years, things, they were able to survive in Egypt. Sometimes it's good to be an ant to avoid debt. This is not a picture of one of my cars here, but I had a similar experience like this. I think it must have been maybe 6-7 years ago when Wilbur Dunn had his knee replacements. You guys remember that? And I remember I was driving over to see him at the hospital, and I was merging from the Jennings Freeway onto 480, and all of a sudden my car looked exactly like that. Going, whoa! You know, the thing just stops dead. I get out, I had it towed, and I've blown a head gasket. And they said at the station, they go, like, you know, "This car is just like, it's done." Now, fortunately, at that point, I had been living like an ant. And fortunately, first of all, there were the Rasmussen family was around, because they go, like, "You want to borrow a car? One of our many used cars sitting over here on our lot for a little while you look for a car?" I said, "Great." You know, so I drove one of their 300,000-mile vehicles. And for a while, and then I was able to buy that CRV that's sitting out there, a good used car, but I avoided going into debt to do that because I had saved up some money for this. Sometimes it's good to be an ant for future purposes. You know, Rachel, you know, when she was like living at home with us, even when she was little, and she would have, she would get a job like babysitting when she was 10 or 11 or anything, and she ended up getting a lot of babysitting jobs. But when she would come home from work, she would bring the money that she got, and she would take it into the study, and there were a couple of envelopes there in a drawer. And one envelope was her savings envelope, and she'd take half of whatever she made and plop it in that envelope, and then she'd take 10% of what she made and put it in another envelope that she was going to give away. And then some nights she would babysit and just end up with a few bucks because she had, you know, for herself, because she had saved it. Well, she ended up graduating last year from college debt-free. And that was a lot of that had to do with the fact that she lived like an ant. I mean, she just didn't spend a whole lot of money on herself at all. She just kept saving it and saving it and saving it. And that really worked out well for her future purposes. So it's not so good to be a slug. Better to be an ant. However, I'm not going to say this like in an unqualified way, because Jesus talks about an ant back here in Luke chapter 12. And this is not a totally flattering picture of an ant. He says, he told him this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." So he's not thinking like a slug here, is he? He's thinking like an ant. He's going like, you know what? I gotta put some away. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now this guy's, I think, is like a true American here, isn't he? I mean, we have been told for all of our lives that this is what we ought to do. I mean, we should make our money, and then we should save it up so that we can have a good retirement. We want to be able, once we're done, you know, serving the boss at work, we want to be able to have a nice lifestyle. We want to be able to travel. We want to be able to enjoy some things, and we can take it easy now that we've put in our time of work. That's exactly what this guy's thinking. He's thinking, you know, he's not thinking weird thoughts. He's thinking our kind of thoughts right here. He's into storage, and that's what ants are good at. They're really good at storage. But Jesus says this guy's a fool too. God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with everyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. See, there's some dangers of storage. Remember a couple weeks ago I told you about this guy, this William Foxton right here, this guy who was this decorated British military hero. He'd faced dangers for 30 years in all kinds of war zones and dangerous places, and yet he ends up killing himself in a London park because he had stored up all his goods with this guy right here, Bernie Madoff. And there's some dangers when it comes to storage. See, it isn't always like an unfettered good. And storage can be insecure. I mean, we as Americans have, for years and years, we have believed that if we put our money into a house, that house value would appreciate. It would just keep going up, and that would take care of us, wouldn't it? And even if we were stretched, the fact that that house was sure to rise in value would cover us in the fact that we maybe had not been as prudent as we thought. And yet that whole thing turned out to be a bubble. And it wasn't as secure to store it in that house as we thought it was. And sometimes it can be really short-sighted. See, when we start thinking about, yeah, we're saving it up so that we can take it easy and enjoy ourselves in those golden years, that can be a short-sighted thing. See, Jesus says, you know what? There was that fool back there in the Old Testament, that slug, and he was just thinking about today. But he goes, you know what? You were saving it up, but you weren't thinking much farther than just today either. Because when you start thinking about the time that you've got after you're done working, that's today and another today and another today, and it might stretch into a few years, but that isn't that long either when you start thinking about the totality of life. And he says, you know, you've stored up things for yourself, but if that's what you've done with your money and all you've stored it up was for yourself, then it really hasn't been in a very good place, because that's not going to go very far at all. You know, it says a slug isn't the way to go, and an ant has got some real problems. What to do? The Lord actually gives us a third alternative, and that's the raven. The raven. Because when Jesus tells this story about this guy, he goes on, and this is the next thing that he talks about. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Now, I was thinking about birds, you know, and how God takes care of them, and bird lifestyle. This was the thing I was thinking about with this. And I was thinking, you know what, we went through a hard winter right here. We went through like 3 or 4 months of being hardcore global warming, right? You know, where we're really like, this was not a pleasant winter at all. And yet, when I would go for walks every day, not because I liked it, just to prove that I'm a man, you know, and I was out there, I didn't see a whole lot of birds, you know, and I, you know, if I'd been born yesterday, I thought, oh, all the birds died because of cold. No, they hadn't died. You know what happened was, back around October when it started getting cold, what did the birds do? They're going, whoa, Northeast Ohio is getting kind of cold. I don't want to be here anymore. And they went, you know what? The prevailing winds are coming more from the north. This won't even take a whole lot of effort. So they just kind of elevated up there. and just let the winds blow them south. And while we were sitting here suffering all winter, they're lying on beaches in Florida going like, so nice being in the sun. That's what the birds were doing, you know? Can you, it kind of irritates me, you know? And then I'll tell you what irritates me even more than that is there were birds that were too lazy to even, they're going, oh, what a drag. You have to fly all the way to Florida? Are you kidding me? I think I'll just hang around here. And so they just hung around here in the snow and everything like that. And yet, they got taken care of too. I mean, they're still out there chirping and everything like that. And Jesus says, your Heavenly Father takes care of birds. He feeds the birds. You know how He feeds them? I learned this when I was working in a grocery store. See, I was in charge of the taxable aisle. And in our taxable aisle, we had this entire section of pet food, right? So we had all this dog food. We had all this cat food. This all sold real well. And then we had a small section for bird seed, you know, the bird food. And the problem with the bird seed is it takes up way too much room. And if we really had a big spread of it, it would take away from our dog food and our cat food, which we really, really needed. So we just had this little section. And so we just plopped down some bird seed. And so I remember this one Saturday in particular. It was like a little old lady comes up to me and she goes like, sir, you seem to be out of bird seed. I'm going like, oh, it's full. Let me check. I look over there. Sure enough, we're out. I'll go back and get some. So I get another big case of it, throw it up there on the shelf. 45 minutes later, another, sir, there doesn't seem to be any bird food on the shelf, you know? And I'm going, I just put it up there. But I look, sure enough, it's out. So I have to go back and get some more. I spent like Saturday just replenishing bird seed. I thought, why is it? You know why it was? This guy right here. He goes on, this guy makes my life miserable. He goes on TV and he goes like, it's so cold outside. We must feed the critters. Let's feed the birds. So he's doing the Mary Poppins thing, you know, like, feed the birds. And they're going like, yes, Dick Goddard. I mean, G-O-D Goddard, right? I mean, he's the guy who's saying it. I must go feed the birds. But who told Dick Goddard to tell the little old ladies? God. God's whispering in his ear. He's going, tell them. Birds. And then they do it, and it's God's economy. It's how He takes care of them. And the Lord goes, you know what? You're so much more precious than those birds. I got my eye on them all the time. I'm taking care of even the ones that don't manage to get south. I'm going to take care of you. God takes care of His people. And you know, the ravens are relying on dependable promises when you and I many times we've relied on house equity. We've relied on cash. I mean, that's what people are doing now, aren't they? They're squirreling away their money. Here's a picture from Weimar Germany in the 20s. Their government there said, whoa, we're going into recession, depression. We just got to start spending, started printing money. What happened was people started using it as toys because it was so worthless. Here's a woman actually feeding cash into her furnace to heat her house because that money became so worthless because of hyperinflation. There was a true story of a woman who went to the store to buy a loaf of bread. She had a bushel basket full of cash, took it to the store, set it down to buy the loaf of bread. Somebody came along, dumped the cash out, and stole the basket. That's how worthless cash can become when you got a government that's all about spend, print. We can't depend on our cash either. And now they're saying, oh, buy gold. Buy gold as a hedge against the hyper. No, you can't depend on gold either. This isn't dependable. You know, this is another thing that could crash for us. And ultimately, people go like, the government. Yes, the government will bail us all out. You know, and we're putting our hope in our elected officials. And that's not a dependable promise either. There's one dependable promise in the world, and that is the promise of God. That's it. Jesus says here, he's talking to us ravens. He goes like, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You see, the Lord has got a commitment to you and me. He's going like, you're my people. I went to the trouble to send my son to die for you and pay for you. I'm going to take care of your little needs as well, your needs for money. And you know what? The Lord doesn't say, oh, I need a paycheck in order to take care of you. The Lord says, I'm going to take care of you. And even if you don't get a paycheck, I can find ways to do it. You know, even if you don't have rich relatives, I can take care of you. My arm is not too short. There are ways that I'm going to provide for you. And you've got, I love you. I love you so much more than I love birds, and I take care of them pretty well. And then he says this, sell your possessions and give to the poor. provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. He says, you know what, now I got a savings plan that's going to make some sense for you if you think like a raven. See, one of the things that I read about ravens is that they're into this thing called recruitment. And this is an interesting thing. They said, like, when a raven finds a, you know, something to eat, and ravens can eat anything. They said they're omnivorous. When they find stuff to eat, they make a ruckus, and all the other ravens come. And it's like they become very social in their plundering of whatever food is around. And it's kind of interesting how they are unwittingly, like, kind of sharing. And another thing they do is when they find, like, a huge animal carcass, and it's going to be a lot of effort to break into that thing, they say they make enough ruckus that they bring other animals there. The other animals tear up the carcass, do all the work for them, and then the ravens take what's left. And in a way, they're a symbol of what it means to live a life where you're trusting God. Because you begin, as you share, it actually works to your benefit, and you receive as you give. Ravens share, even without even intending to, they do. That's just part of their kind of lifestyle. Jesus had said, you know, to that fool guy, he said, you're not rich toward God. And then he talks later about having your treasure like saved up in heaven. Here's how you do it. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. God notices that kind of stuff, and God says, I pay off on that. That is a good deposit. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week. We have this tendency many times to think of life in terms of a warehouse, you know, where we measure our life in terms of how many goods we can get, what our stuff is, and how much we can store up. The Lord's going, you know what, I got a better way. I want you to think of your life as a channel where it's like I've given to you, and then I want you to just keep channeling it to others. That's the smartest way to go. You know, we learned, at least I learned from the Word here, that being a slug and just, you know, spending it and not cutting back in order to save it up is foolish. And that there are times when it's good to do some saving. But I've also learned that these two things can be the same. That sometimes people who are saving, sometimes when I'm saving and it's all about me, that's just another form of being a spender. I'm just spending on a slightly deferred basis. And both of those things are foolish. So sometimes saving is just as foolish as spending. But I've also learned that the best savings plan is giving. And that there's a better way to save than sometimes the way that I have saved. There's a way that's got some real security in it. And a way that I can do it now because of the fact that I know that God's got my back and that He's taking care of me. So let's pray. Lord, as we gather here this morning on this rainy morning. Lord, I just want to give thanks to you so much for your financial security plan. It's the only thing that I know that I can rely on. And Lord, I just pray that you'd teach every one of us here to stand on those promises, just to stand on those promises no matter what the circumstances we're going through. I know some people this morning are worried about, they're looking at their bank books or they're looking at their employment situation and they're worried here this morning and maybe for good reasons. But Lord, you got our back. So help us to stand on what you have told us. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that you'd make some real smart investors out of us this morning. That you'd teach us by your Holy Spirit how to do it the smart way. Not the world's way, but your way. And I just pray that you just free up our hearts and free up our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name.